Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line podcast. This is your hostess, Kat, and back again with me is Carl.
Hey, Kat.
Hello! We're drinking beer. That's why the giggle's there, don't... Yeah, okay. Anyway,
Guinness is on tonight.
Guinness dropped. And today we are going to talk about some of sci-fi's best stuff. And that would be Warehouse 13, Eureka, and we're going to throw Haven in there.
Yes, we got to give them a little credit where credit is due. It is so slight that the Sci-Fi Channel cranks out something watchable. But let me tell you.
Dude, come on. Don't love them and slap them like that.
Hey, who said I loved them?
Oh, wow. Come on. What other channel can you watch? I mean, we have maybe about 5 or 6 shows that you can watch on one channel. You can't say that for every channel. Like NBC, can you watch? Do you have 5 favorite shows on NBC or CBS or ABC right now? No, but you can have 5 favorite shows on Sci-Fi Channel. You have Warehouse 13, Eureka. You have Haven. You have SGA. Caprica. I'm dying. What else? Yeah.
The other channels are made for the broadest possible audience. My grandma can watch NBC. My niece can watch NBC. If you call a channel the Sci-Fi
Dude,
Channel,
we've been through this. We're not going to do that again.
You're targeting.
It's called Sci-Fi, not Sci-Fi.
No, you mean Sci-Fi, the Sci-Fi Channel.
Nah, you whatever. Anywho,
so giving them credit where credit is due. Yes, they do make a couple of really good shows, and we're going to talk about some of the best.
One of the best that returned for the summer is Warehouse 13. Now, this is a very interesting show. It's kind of like a steampunk show, and I've grown to love this one. We are in second season of this show. Give me its name. Saul Rubinek. Love this guy. I don't know why I like him so much. You should see like pictures of him when he was younger. He's a handsome thing. He's dashing, this guy. He's dashing now. I like him. For whatever reason, he has a thing, but I really like him on this show.
You know what I thought was actually well done? The cliffhanger into the last episode of Warehouse 13, where, of course, the umbilicus blows up, and we thought we lost Saul.
I knew we didn't lose Saul.
All summer, the previews did not have him in them.
Oh, you noticed that?
Yes, and so I'm sitting there going, wait a minute, because, well, I like Saul Rubinek a lot, and I was hoping that he was coming back, but he wasn't in the previews, and I didn't hear anything. I said, wait a minute. They could not be losing this guy. He's really great. He adds something to the show. Come on. So they had me wondering, actually, during the whole summer. I was like, is he coming back? Is he not? Every preview just showed the main two. So I was going, oh, man, maybe they had some budget cutbacks on Warehouse 13, and they could not afford him. So I was very happy to see that he returned. Although
in the first 3 minutes he returns, and it was such a letdown.
The first 55 seconds, I said, I'm not joking, because I couldn't believe it. I thought that I liked the fact that the tension was there, that I did not know if he was coming back or not. And they did so well with the previews. I was like, oh, they're really going to work this, right? So I'm looking forward to, is he coming back? Is he not? 55 seconds into the movie, I'm getting a feeling, a good feeling. Poof, literally out of smoke, he shows up. And we got Paul back going, oh man, so what did I miss? You've been gone 55 seconds. You missed nothing. Nothing has happened. So they really could have milked that a little bit more. I can't believe they didn't. But
yeah, it would have been nice to have a little mystery there. But he was back a little fast for me. But they got moving on with some other interesting things. Lena was she had like a pearl in her ear, and that's why how McPherson had her doing all this weird crap. Claudia was on the run because she thought she was evil or something. Turns out she wasn't, of course. Pete and Micah, just, you know, antics as usual. But the most interesting thing that I think that happened was that they brought in H.G. Wells. And you, so when you see the name H.G. Wells, you're going to get excited if you're a sci-fi fan, even if you haven't read, you know. But the twist, Carl, how'd you like the twist? Tell us about this twist.
Hottie Girl Wells. That is what I'm talking about right
there. It's his sister. It's his sister.
She was smoking. I am liking HG. I'm liking her a lot. Yeah, I suspected it because, okay, so the one thing about Warehouse 13, no matter how hard they try, they're not smooth in this show. I mean, they try to sneak a character in or they try to do that. You always see it coming miles ahead. So they do that pan of the people who are in the H.G. Wells' house. And it's like, you know, random person from down the street, old man tourist, smoking hot woman, kid with a balloon. Wait a minute, you know, right? Right then you go, wait a second, who is that right there with the dark hair? But
and she was the most known character. She was on Dexter for a season as a pyromaniac.
Oh really?
She was topless at one point. And her most famous line was, "Pardon my tits," and that's what she's known for.
Wow, sci-fi aiming high with the replacement
are we going to have a British baddie every season? Because McPherson was British, she's British.
I think it was really a good choice. I mean, not just because she's smoking hot, but because Warehouse 13 does have that sort of brass steampunk feel to it. Mm-hmm. And if you want to bring one person back that sort of personifies that sort of technology and that ahead of the curve and mystic kind of tech, H.G. Wells is nailing it. They did a really good job with the choice of character.
Yeah.
And with casting, it's going to make it really interesting with her. So that's great.
I wonder if anybody was upset about how that went down, because I thought at first they were going to say that H.G. Wells was a chick. And, well, it kind of said that it was sort of a ghostwriting type of thing, or, you know, I don't know. But I just wonder if anybody, you know, took exception to it.
I think they should give it a break, because we've seen H.G. Wells come back a lot in different incarnations and different sci-fi programs. Yeah. We've seen him a lot, and this is a new twist, and I think
that's what I liked. Yeah,
I think it's a good choice. Good choice.
So C.H. Pounder is back, Miss Frederick. I thought, you know, she might be way too big for this movie. She was an Avatar.
Yep.
She's on like Law and Order or some crap. I don't know, but I just didn't think that they would be able to afford her, and she's back.
Maybe. Yeah, but she and Rubinette came back. I was like, whoo, all right, they got a budget, so this is going to be good.
They've been pumping this one up. I mean, I've seen more commercials for Warehouse 13 than pretty much any other, like, even for Eureka. Mm-hmm. They've been really, I mean, their push on Twitter is really huge. You have the actors getting into Twitter. They want you to retweet this, blah, blah, blah. But, I think it's a cute show. I think I love what they're doing. It's easy. It's funny.
It is silly. You cannot take Warehouse 13 real serious. Of all of the shows on Sci-Fi Channel that I do like, it is the most tongue-in-cheek. It is, you know, it's got a camp factor to it that is totally acceptable. I let it go. Yeah. I kind of enjoy it with them. So, yeah, that's good. Yeah. let me ask you a question, though.
Uh-oh.
McPherson. I don't care how many times you say it, the name McPherson is not frightening. Okay, if you're going to try to create a nemesis, a really bad dude that everybody is going to be after, why name him McPherson?
Because it has fierce in it, girl. Oh, no? Okay.
No, Kat. Nor would I be terrified of RuPaul. It's just not.
It's scary.
I mean, it's just. Because, first of all, they say his name every 30 seconds. In every episode he's in, it's like, McPherson's
coming. Well, it's not about a name. I mean,
it's about a name.
Let's say you went evil, Carl Leonard. That's not scary. But yeah, if you're evil, then it's going to automate, like, you know, Voldemort or whatever. That's not scary. It sounds like rocks. I'm not.
Voldemort rocks as a bad guy name. Come on, this ain't real life. Not. These people are writing these things. If I was going to sit down.
But if we're going to call that, I mean, it's so much wrong with 10,000 shows.
But
like, Lost could have written it. I mean, come on, we can't go with they're right. It's just a name.
You don't think that the name is awkwardly unevil?
No, no, I don't care about that.
You will be devoured.
But I mean, he sounds like something McPherson. You know, it's a name, you don't hear it that often. I don't. And it was just like, okay.
He's your soul will be devoured by McPherson. No. No. You will kneel before the mighty McPherson. No.
McPherson.
No.
How about that?
No.
You gotta throw a little A kind of. No? Okay. Well, I didn't care. I think you're alone there. Nobody cares that hard because it's a show and it's like, whatever.
McPherson. No. But I do like his character, though. I like his character. He's a bad guy, and he was a fun bad guy, so that was all right. He just didn't care. That's what. If you're gonna be a bad guy again, just bring some real anger. Bring something real. He was a fun bad guy to watch.
Yeah, I give the show a lot of passes, but I was not feeling the M.C. Escher vault.
Oh man, come on! They did the interstitial graphic for the Sci-Fi Channel. Remember when they had them on the Escher stairs? In the Sci-Fi Channel commercial, and you know, and they were tossing the. It was even the crew from Warehouse 13. They were tossing the football. Yeah. That effect looked way better than what they pulled off in the vault, which was
that was
really weird.
It was a little horrible, actually. Yeah,
that was
just horrible, and the way they went. But you know, we'll just let that one go. Yeah,
because they have other redeeming factors. And so you see, this is how we work. We're not unrelentingly hard on stuff. We're not unfair. If you're going to bring us some crazy characters, if it's going to be funny and silly, if you hold our attention, then every once in a while, we'll let you slide on a bad Escher stare. It's all right. Because as a whole, the silliness of the series is fun. And by the way, is Claudia's Farnsworth not rocking?
That
thing was cool looking.
Yeah.
That kind of like brass and onyx thing going on there. That was rather.
Maybe we can kind of trick our iPhones out to make it. No, okay.
Somebody will probably do that. Just so watch Instructables. It'll be popping up soon.
Yeah. So Warehouse 13. They're doing good. Second season. I don't know what to expect. I haven't read any spoilers. I don't know where they're gonna go, but I hope they keep it fun.
Yes. Yeah. And they've got a good premise, and they got the whole warehouse to deal with. So we don't expect to see the same kind of bad guys every week. We don't expect to see the same kind of stuff. They've got a good place to start from. So I just hope they keep it fresh.
Now to my favorite sci-fi show on Sci-Fi, which is spelled Sci-Fi, Eureka.
Eureka.
I love this show. It is that time of year again, and I can't talk about this show. And I want to live there. If I could live on TV in a place, I would live in Eureka. I love that place. I love that show.
It's really awesome. It is really awesome. I'm so glad that the quality of the show has stayed up there.
Mm-hmm.
The effects are pretty good. They're not spectacular, but they're pretty good. And given all the other exciting stuff, the actors are really good.
I love the
actors on Eureka, just across the board. These people are interesting. The characters are well developed.
Joe Morton.
Oh, gotta love Joe. Dyson, man. Always talking with Dyson. And he's still alive. They've done two seasons and he's still alive.
This is the fourth season.
I mean, oh, that's right. Fourth season. I mean, granted, he's got girlfriends bouncing off of him every episode, but he's still hanging in there.
We're going to have to talk about that. Cause
I'm so happy Morton's alive.
Allison Blake, love her. Yes. I'm disappointed that Tess is back because I did not care for her.
Why were you hating on Tess?
She looks like a puppet and it creeps me out.
What? Wait, what do you mean? What do you mean?
She looks like a Muppet. Like if you put your hand in her head and you moved her head, she looks like a puppet. She's pretty. I love her. But she, for some reason, reminds me of The Muppet Show. And sometimes I just,
Are you saying the way she moves? Are you saying she has button eyes? What are you...
just something about the way her mouth moves and her nose or so, I don't know. She's like has this bizarre beauty and she looks like a Muppet and it freaks me out.
That is hardcore. I've never heard of that.
It's like a backhanded compliment freak out.
Oh man. Okay. Well, she does not bother me.
Yeah, because she's a dude and you only see that anyway. Whatever.
Well, but I think she's an interesting foil. You know, we've got to have
foil. Carter. Yes. Oh, okay.
No, because Carter, everything was going, you know, he looked like he was a one woman man and everything was all settled. And then, you know, we had the whole pregnancy thing going on. And so then he was looking like he was going to be alone. And now he's got the two ladies that are fighting over the Carter. So now, oh, what's he going to do? What's he going to do? Because he just had the slow dance. And then he gets home and his wife is there, or not wife, but whatever, you know, is living in the house.
Let's go back to the beginning, because now you're talking about the end. So what are you excited? I'm excited about how the premiere happened, because they went to 1947. They time travel. Time travel happened on your it happened before. But it happened, and they had the whole Caprica costuming thing going on, and I was in heaven. It felt like the holodeck episodes of Deep Space Nine. It took me there because it had the music, you know, from that era, and I can see how if some people, you know, didn't like it, they didn't like it. I loved it. I thought it was perfect. I loved it.
I don't see why people would have a problem with it, because the only real complaint that I've had about Eureka is that sometimes, obviously for budget reasons, the shows felt a little bit smaller than they should have been.
Yeah.
Just the you know, the sets or the effects or whatever just felt a little bit small. To see them just blow up like this, take us back in time, and even better, they gave us a multi-episode arc going on here. It's not a bottle show, which is what we've seen so much with Eureka.
Yeah.
This one, you know, right away, stuff at the end of this episode is not settled in any sort of way. But yes, the costumes were great. Man, I love the planes. The scene where the planes flew over the base.
It was almost like going back to Doctor Who's 40s episode.
It was very well done. And I kept waiting. They danced right on the edge of a Back to the Future kind of thing. You know, I was just waiting when they got in there to do the swing dance. If he was going to like, well, let me show you how we do it where I'm from. And he jumps up.
Oh, no.
But
yeah.
They didn't do it. I didn't know.
Yeah, no, I'm glad they didn't do that. But it was a very sweet story. I was so happy to see Allison back with Jack. And I just love them.
Are they back together? Because, you know, back home.
Well, they both remember their kiss. But Puppet Tess doesn't know anything about that. And they're the other. And then there's a catch to this whole thing. Because now Henry... Now that we discussed that, you know, the time travel, Henry met with the lady who he just met, and now he's married to her. And I knew when I saw her that she was going to be a love interest of his. I knew.
Now,
when
why
I
would
saw
you?
Her.
Why would you say that? I don't know.
There's just something about her. I don't know. She just added it because they flirted with each other and they just had a chemistry. I just knew it upon sight.
It's not that whole Isaac from the Love Boat thing where. No, she that's a beautiful woman. I was cheering.
She is cute. She looks like, you know, she's not young, but she doesn't look old, but she looked like his same age. And I love her hair and I love everything about her. And she's like strong and whatever. So I think that they're going to make a good couple. What pisses me off at the end is that, so not only did we get Henry with a love interest that he doesn't know anything about and he has to catch up, but the saddest, beautiful thing is that Allison's son, who has, you know, he's autistic, he's not.
Right, right.
Yep. And he's just, you know, he's playing Xbox. He's saying, Mom, whatever, blah, blah, blah. He's a regular kid. And the look on her face was just priceless. That woman, she did it with the acting in that scene. Now, she always does it. But right there, you could just see how happy she was to see her son normal.
Yeah.
Not
happy though. It wasn't happy to see her son normal. She was just terrified because she didn't know what
it
meant.
You think it was terror?
Well, she didn't know what it meant. She was worried about what happened, who her son used to be. Is this really her son? All of that stuff was just like playing through her head like this.
And you can see it.
Because she looked, she didn't, you know, you said she was happy, but she wasn't happy. She didn't like, oh, I'm so glad that you're like this. And well, no, yeah,
you're right. You're correct. It was a mix of happiness, hope, worry, fear. You know, it was, yeah.
And she pulled it off. I mean, it's wonderful to see good acting in science fiction. Oh, man, it's like,
who the fuck?
I'm telling you, it's like a weight lifted off of your back with all this stuff. You know what we've been going through with some of the stuff we talked about, but just that, just to have that lightness about it, was so much fun. And even what's his name? Oh man, now I'm losing it. Fargo, from the previews.
Oh,
the Fargo data. I was so afraid that was going to be real. Like I was so afraid that goofy Terminator scene was somehow going to be woven into the episode. So thank you.
Even if it was, they would pull it off because they know how to write and they know how to make it funny.
Oh, that would have been.
But yeah.
it was funny. I thought it was funny as a dream sequence. That was well played. Well played.
But okay, so the sad part about it is that the two things that we want to see happen, we want to see Henry Deacon happy. We want to see the, you know, nobody wants to see a kid autistic and not have fun like the rest of the kids, whatever. So those are two good things that if they fix whatever they're going to fix, they're going to go away. And it pisses me off because Joe Morton always loses love and I'm tired of it.
Every time he gets love interest, you're like, well, how much longer until this episode's over? Because you know she's going to bite it. She's going to bite it
and we're going to have to see and he's going to go dark again and he's going to go get, and then she's going to come back in an alien ship and she's going to die again. No. Mm-mm. No, there, you just have to say no. So I think I might write the guys on this one and say that there's a point where you have to stop messing with Henry Deacon.
Seriously.
You write this. You can write around this.
Thank you. Give the man a break. But one other minor detail that we have not discussed.
Oh, yeah, we're building up to him.
Okay, all right.
James Callis.
How about that?
Baltar. And he has an English accent, which I'm disappointed because I want to hear him, you know, be a little bit more natural because his accent is kind of fluctuating between, like, I don't know, different accents or cadence. I don't know what it's doing, but it's fluctuating between a whole bunch of things. But okay, fine. Let's skip that because I couldn't do a British accent at all. But he was back in 1940s, and I love the way that when he found out they were from the future, how he just kind of went with it and he kind of hung with them as a guy who's 50 years old, 50 years out of date, or however, is it 50 or 100 years? I don't know. Yeah. 100 years or whatever, how many years out of date. And he's still hanging with them and he can help them and with his knowledge of what he's doing. And I really like that scene where him and Deacon were just bouncing off of each other and the respect that was given. And it was just very real.
That was really fun because people are often tempted whenever you have people go back in time to have the folks of the era fight with you not believing that you're from the future for like 20% of whatever it is you do. No, you can't be from the future. No, there's no way it's possible. And they spent all of this time trying to convince people. I think it was believable as a physicist. Physicists sort of have that natural curiosity, and they've got an openness to this that anything is possible. So this raggedy team comes falling into the room. You got a cop that didn't quite know what's going on. You got this super hot black, you know, because remember there's 47 or 42 or whatever, a black nurse that can, you know, heal a guy.
I don't think they read her as black though. Not saying, because they read Henry Deacon as the black mechanic, but I don't think they read her. I don't think they read her as black. I'm not saying she was anything else. I just don't think, I think she was beyond race.
Well, I don't know because
she is beyond race. Is she black?
I'm pretty sure she's black, but I think they did touch on it just a moment when.
No, she's African American and half Irish Italian.
Okay, well. In the episode, there is a moment where he turns to her and he says, how does a woman of your, and what did he say, not abilities, but he said something to the effect of, And she says, "You mean a nurse?" And that right there, that little moment was the subtle touching on that.
That which flew over my head because I just thought he was doing the whole "I'm a man, you're a woman" thing. I that flew over my head.
That's just my take on it. You know, maybe you're right, but I just thought that was a subtle sort of, you know, tip of that because again, she was a nurse and not a doctor. You know, she could have been a doctor, which really
was. Well, in that time period, women, were they? I mean, weren't they still giving women a hard time about being smart? I mean, I think that was the scene to me. It was like, you're a woman and you're hot. What are you doing? Why are you a nerd? Or, you know,
But then wasn't there another nurse there? Remember the one who was in
Yeah, but she wasn't as smart as our Allison Blake. She didn't jumpstart a guy's heart with, you know, car parts.
It was a jumper kit. Okay. But anyhow, you know, so the fact that he's got all these
people. Way you're saying it could be, but I totally didn't see it that way.
Right.
But
right,
I see it now that you've said it. But
all I'm saying is, as a physicist, he's got this raggedy bunch of people, different races, different backgrounds, different intelligence levels, and he's just rolling with it. But mostly, clearly, it's because Henry knew what he was talking about. The instant that you can speak in the language of, you know, the advanced physics and the mathematics, there's no doubt. You're not going to go, but you're just a mechanic. This can't be, uh-uh. They wasted
yes,
no time.
Yes, I love that. That's what that. I love.
They just jumped into it, and it was so sweet.
About this show, because I just love it. I love that about this show. And the really big thing, you know, another thing about this episode is that they got back in their time, but they also brought Dr. Baltar with them.
Yeah.
And, accidentally. And he's in our time. And things have changed. Of course, now the statue is bronze where it used to be granite or something. And, you know, I just want to know how things are going to change and if there's going to be our same little wacky show, we're going to get, if we're going to be you know, my major disappointment about this one, sorry to start another sentence in the middle of one, but I thought, you know, Ed Quinn is not doing anything. Nathan Stark, he's not doing anything. Why isn't he back? Dude, do not have a job. Why isn't he back?
Yeah, well, was it his choice to leave?
He went Christopher Eccleston and said, you know, I want to do other things. So okay, I want to get typecast and blah, blah, blah.
Because, I mean, you know, Denise Crosby said the exact same thing. And yeah, that worked out. Yeah, that worked out well.
He was on True Blood, but he got killed after 3 episodes. So he ain't doing crap. He got some crazy movies that nobody's interested in. Dude, what? Come back where we worship you on Eureka. Well, I do. I don't know about anybody else, but I do. But it was just so exciting to see this show's return.
Oh, and the little hit with the theme.
Oh, the theme music.
Yeah. Yes, that was very subtle, very nice, very well done.
It wasn't subtle at all. It was kind of in your face.
It was kind of funny because they did it so much better on Fringe. But still, I'm going to let them go. It was cute.
But nobody sang and sounded like a wounded duck in this episode.
You know what? I was just talking about the 80s intro to Fringe. Put together the 40s. But yes, you're right. You're right. That was, yes, well.
It was once in my life. Okay, let me stop because I'm going to sound like her. Anyway.
Oh man, I still love Walter singing "Something Happens," and I was rolling.
That was a good episode. So we got Fringe, which is our one wacky show for the fall. But then Eureka's back, and a lot of people don't get this show.
Yeah, I don't.
It's too quirky and maybe a little too science-y. I'm not sure why people don't respond to this, but I absolutely adore this show. This is my show.
It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. I don't see why people would have a real problem with it. If you don't relate to it, I mean, the whole geekiness of it might be.
No, but Big Bang Theory is way geekier, and like normal people watch the Big Bang Theory. That's very popular. So I don't. I mean, the humor is. Well, actually, it's a little thicker on Big Bang Theory than nerds.
You're right. It is. It is. So I don't know.
Maybe is Eureka too educational? That's going far.
I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe because it's on. I don't know. But I love this show, and happiness has returned to my life.
I'm glad it's still on. I'm glad that they're supporting it. I'm glad that people like it. And it's one of those I was really worried about for a long time. Not because the show was going down in quality. It's just every time I see a good sci-fi show that I'm starting to really like, you know, really starting to connect with the characters and things like, you know, feels like things are flowing real well. All of a sudden,
it's gone.
Something happens to it. So,
yeah, we've been worried about this show from season one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every year we worry, and I think maybe this could be the last season, because to me they didn't push it enough. Sci-fi, it didn't feel like they pushed it as much as they're pushing like Warehouse 13. It feels like they are on Warehouse 13, and they like, well, we got Warehouse 13, we don't really need Eureka anymore. It's 4 years, haven't taken, you know. I just feel like there's some letting go here, and I don't like it. Well, but
yeah, and as fans, we've come to expect the Reaper. You know, we know, we can see the initial hints. And it probably is because Warehouse 13 is probably cheaper to make than Eureka. I mean, if you really want to get draconian about it.
I don't, because you're wrong, sir. Damn it. Oh,
sorry. I'm sorry. Let's just don't even want to give me any ideas. But
no.
But I Eureka is my favorite of the two. I prefer Eureka to Warehouse 13. I like the cast. I like the characters. I like the pacing of it. I like the stories. I like the science. Eureka's a lot of fun. So I hope they just keep it up.
Yeah, I do. I can't. I don't know what's gonna go on this season aside from the thread that they built. And I'm looking forward to it. I mean, some of the episodes last season were just like, okay, we have a mummy and this. And it's like, oh, guys, you need to pull it together because y'all, what are you doing? But it was still funny at the same time. So I hope they're you know, tighten it this season, and maybe we'll get a fifth, which is rare. I mean,
And again, like I said, I felt to me in the past that the episodes have been a little small and sort of bottle shows, everything. So just to start out with an arc that immediately, I mean, we went back in time. We've got this massive difference in where they've returned to. So is this going to be like a new Sliders world? Is this a parallel Eureka that we're dealing with here? Or are they going to be able to?
I think they put a lot of money into the premiere, but we're going to get cheap episodes throughout the.
Well, as long as they keep the writing up. They hit it out of the park with this first one, and they've got my interest peaked. They've gotten some interesting characters and interesting dilemmas set up. You don't have to give me, you know, flying, you know, B-29s in every episode. Just keep up this level of interest and twist. I'm excited, and I want to see this continue.
Speaking of another new sci-fi show, brand new, Stephen King, based on the Colorado Kid, Haven.
Interesting.
It's beautiful to look at. The colors, it pops like Eureka off the screen. I mean, I think it's even more brightly lit than Eureka.
To me, it felt more film-like, more theatrical than Eureka. Eureka still, in parts, feels like a TV show. But the way this one was shot, it felt more like film for some reason, which was great. That I really like the look of it.
No budget film.
Well, okay, yeah, but, you know, it's given what it is, that's pretty good.
But, yeah, I was really, all I really focused on a lot was the bright, vivid colors and how impressed I was. I love that. However, everything else, I was not feeling the show. I was extremely bored. I had to rewind it a couple of times because I was on my iPhone, because I was like, oh, I can do two things and watch this at the same time. It was like they made Eureka, but with the supernatural world, and changed the, you know, Jack Carter to a chick and put it not in like Oregon, but Maine, but still Vancouver. And I'm bored.
Yeah, they got to do something, because it was not really coming together that well. I understand it's in the beginning, and I'm going to give them some time.
Yeah, but
let us get to know what's going on. But I was not drawn in that much by the folks. Okay, so we have a
first
a
thing Eureka
that doesn't feel pain. What? Yeah.
First episode, Eureka, I was hooked. This, no. But go ahead. I'm sorry, I cut you off.
Right. We're going through the characters here. We got, you know, the sheriff that can't feel pain. Oh, okay. that's about as exciting as kangaroo pouch superpower. You know, that's all right. Good going. Good to see Shanks again. All right, people remember that video. Now we got Ezri Dax.
Man, you know, I was so upset to see her. I don't, I know she was not as, she is not as, I'm just still bitter about
Harry Farrell.
And I'm still bitter about the Dax thing. And she came in, Dax, like, ooh, look at me. I'm Dax. Like, woman, are you really? You do not come in and talk. You should have refused the role. And now I can't look at this lady.
I know.
I can't look at her.
I have the
irrational too, and I'm upset with myself for being this irrational about Nicole. But it's no.
I had the total same bias. I know it. That's exactly what I was feeling. I was like, oh, I gotta let go. She's not Ezri. Come on, Terry Farrell was nice involved in this. I gotta quit.
Yeah, Terry was a real, actually, you know, and Terry was the bitch. She left the damn show. She was miserable on the show. People hated her. And she, what I want, you know, I'm exaggerating, but she left. And Ezri had to come in, like, no, not, how do you, no. Yeah, she was okay. All mousy and
and ran off and still macking with Worf. What was that about? Come on, Worf, that is wrong. You know you can't be messing with that.
I mean, what was that? And then she was on Dead Zone, whining the same crap, and she was the same character on Haven, the same whiny, mousy, passive aggressive person, and I just want to hit her.
Oh man,
I hope she never I hope no one that she knows ever listens to this, because it's awful of me. I feel like
it's not fair.
Ridiculous. I need to go to therapy for it or something. I can't let it go. It the show, once I saw her, it was like, wow, you really don't want me to watch this, do you? Not even trying.
Well, let's go on with our FBI agent.
Yeah, let's move on.
And don't forget Fake Broyles that was in it. So we got Fake Broyles and FBI agent. Everybody felt like they borrowed him from another episode or something. We're
putting
together a series based on pieces of other ones.
And this is supposed to be Stephen King.
Well, okay. See, Stephen King, I love his books.
Touch and go, but his TV series, they never do well, do they?
No, I love his books, and every time I see them brought to life in a made-for-TV movie, they just toil it. They just toil it out. It's just terrible. It's like the people. Well, I'm just not good. They're not good. So I'm keeping fingers crossed.
Didn't he do Taken? That sci-fi series. It was six episode.
Really?
That was good.
Right. Well, I thought that the pacing on that wasn't that great.
It was okay. I liked it. I think I bought it because I liked it so much. But I like that.
I like that they've had a budget, but the story didn't bowl me over. But okay, Stephen King, they try to adapt Stephen King stuff, what is it that makes his book so great, but when they bring it to life?
I don't know, because they're threatening to do. Have you read The Talisman?
No.
Oh, my God. That's a really good book. But they're thinking about making that a movie, and I'm very scared because it's such a good book. They travel to different, two universes or something, and a little boy goes back and forth and blah, blah, whatever. But wow. I'm scared. I can read it again, and it was a thick book. It was that good. But his stuff is, I mean, some of the movies were okay. I mean, this isn't good. I can't even complete a sentence. It's not.
But well, here's something else to think about, too. Most of the time when they adapt Stephen King stories for their movies or TV shows, the actors aren't that great, which is really strange.
But I don't understand that. Yeah.
Well, why would you? I mean, well, maybe they spend so much money trying to get the rights that they can't afford decent actors. But it seems like every time that they adapt one of his books, they have some of the campiest acting in it, and it just doesn't translate really well. So,
Doesn't this one? Doesn't this the actress remind you of that one chick that was in the dance movie? And she's kind of, you know,
Styles. Yes,
yeah. And I was just like, I couldn't stop seeing that chick. And I was,
Styles.
I don't know.
So yes, we have borrowed your favorite characters from every movie series, brought them together, and made
This
Haven.
because it's something about, because a lot of sci-fi shows are being made in Vancouver, Canada,
Vancouver,
whatever.
of
And it's
course.
something about someone there is doing some casting and they're just not getting it right. It's something about the, because it's like up there they love the casting and it's like, oh, this is great, but down here where they're, you know, selling the shows, it's just not translating. And I
Yes.
think somebody else needs to do the casting, because these people have the same level of bland as the Stargate Atlantis cast. When I first saw them, it's the same level of bland.
Atlantis or SGU cast?
Excuse me, pardon me, pardon self. It was SGU or
Yeah.
SGA or S, one of the
GU.
damn Stargates.
Yes, universe. Yes, SGU. And yes, I concur. Totally agree. You're right. You're right. They do have that sort of bland. If you're putting together a new series, I like to see new things. Again, we've been here before.
Yeah,
Well,
same conversation. We have the same conversation every time.
but look at these people. Like I said, I can just rattle off. Oh yeah, it's Fake Broyles. Oh yeah, we've seen that guy before. Oh,
It's the
everybody
styles. This is, yeah.
it feel like somebody we've seen before. So you can't say that about a lot of people in Warehouse 13, and you can't say that about Eureka's folks. They really have a uniqueness about them that is not quite so cookie cutter
Yeah.
and plain. So.
Yeah. There is really, I. Are you going to keep watching this?
I'm gonna give it a try.
Oh,
I'm gonna lean
God.
in. No, I'm serious. I'm
The
gonna lean
Carl
into it.
Try, that's
I
Heroes
do.
all over again, man.
No, I enjoyed Heroes, and then it kind of
What?
not. I enjoy, and then it kind of not so much. This one, I'm gonna give it a try because I want to see what the
We're gonna make a
sequel.
5-episode blood pact.
No more blood pact. No more blood pact. Never again, you. But I'm gonna watch it a couple more times because I wanna see the magic of Stephen King in here. He does have a way
This
of
dude, your hope. I always say this, your hope is so adorable. There's not gonna be magic here, man.
what? How you know already?
I
Come
can
on.
I can I'm Miss Cleo today and I can see the
Oh
No.
no.
'Cause that's like a power from the show and whatever.
Yeah, you're just blowing hot air.
But yeah, dude, no, there's no magic. This is gonna be Painkiller Jane and Flash.
Oh, come on, it's not that bad. Now, I mean, those from the beginning, you're like,
I
no,
tried with
no.
Painkiller Jane, though. I really tried.
Oh, they were not good from the start. They were not
But
good
it
from
had
the beginning.
that one chick and she's good. And I don't know what happened, but anyway, you know, the one chick, Painkiller Jane, the blonde chick, whatever.
Yeah, no, I didn't like it from the start.
Okay. Yeah, no.
So, 2 out of 3 ain't bad for sci-fi here. I
Just don't know
like.
what they're doing. I mean, this, well, you know, not only does it feels like the Blade TV series. You remember that?
Yeah.
And how it, you have Blade and you know it's supposed to be this one thing, and then it's Stephen King and it's supposed to be massive, and you kind of get it there and.
Well, like I said, maybe we're gonna see something more. Like, maybe our sheriff has something more going on than just he doesn't feel pain. Okay, he's been
Well, no,
sheriff for.
no. I mean, come on. Everybody has supernatural powers, or they're different in some sort of way. 'Cause Fake Broyles, he can like spin off in his car and rip the concrete open. You have
Yeah.
Weather Girl. You have, you know, No Pain Guy. Then you have fake ass Julia Stiles and
Who may be the reincarnated to Colorado
Mother
State
with
or
the badass what's her name from Fringe, bangs, wig thing that you hated so much?
Oh, that was terrible. Yes,
Yeah,
that
she
was the
had the
same wig.
same wig. It was the same wig. And
We even stole the wig from Fringe people. You've seen this before. You've seen it all.
and her delivery is a little rough.
Yeah.
It's a little rough, but also, what is her name from Fringe? Olivia. She was a little rough in the first season of Fringe too. But there were other things in that like Walter brought you in. You know, he
Walter, there, my favorite.
Did you even laugh in this episode of Haven? Was it even funny?
Funny? No. No. That's funny. Are you kidding? No, there was nothing funny in this.
See, that's what some of these shows are missing. They forget to include the humor. And that's why Warehouse 13 is doing well. That's why Eureka does well, plus Jack Carter's hot when he takes his shirt off, which is a lot. And thank you. But Haven, guys, come on, write me. Tell me what you think. Make me wrong, because I want to be wrong about how...
Well, you're not wrong. Like, you're not wrong about the pilot. Let's just hope that they just they build.
You know, I feel so bad trashing it like this, because you're like, oh my god, you had actual people who worked on it and they got a paycheck and they got to feed their family. If you get canceled, they can't go to college or get.
you're putting an awful lot of weight on these.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
That did not keep us from dogging Octoshark or whatever was on.
I didn't see. I don't know. Oh my god, did you hear about the movie sci-fi original? It's going to be Tiffany versus the other 80s, like Debbie Gibson or something. Oh, I can't wait. I didn't see the other ones because they were had their own sci-fi original, but now they're going to battle. Dude, come on. I don't know why I'm excited about that, because it's going to be awful.
The concept of that is so fun. They could really do something with it. However, we know who's got it. These people are going to screw it up so bad. It's not, the concept of this could be hilarious. They could really be fun. They could go really far with this. But they're not going to. It is going to not be good, because they won't take advantage of the fun campness of this and deliver it properly.
You're not going to watch it?
I don't think so. That's all I'm going to say.
We're going to cut it off, because we're just, you've heard this part of the episode plenty of times with us. We can talk about that one forever. But we're going to wrap this up. Thanks for listening, guys. We'd love to hear your feedback. Give us a call, 773-336-2686. Guess what? That goes to my new iPhone 4, so I'll pick it up and talk. Okay, I'm sorry. Send us a tweet at Sci-Fi Party Line. Send us a message on Facebook.com Sci-Fi Party Line, or go to SciFiPartyLine.com to leave us a comment. Until next time, we hope you enjoyed the show, and we will see you at the party next time. Bye! Woo!
McPherson!
Really? I can't believe it upsets you so much. Oh, God. You're ridiculous, man. 'Cause I start the whole thing over.
All right.
Because I think I kind of spazzed a little. I want more beer.
Yeah, that's the way. This episode is starting on the right foot. And another thing about Eureka is, hang on, I got to do another drink.